Bibles, and let's turn to Zephaniah tonight. We're going to be in the first chapter. We're going to look, be looking at a lot of the eight, almost all of that chapter here tonight. There was a group of prospective jurors. And they asked, the judge, of course, is asking them questions and asked them if whether any of them have ever felt like they had been mistreated or treated unfairly by the police officer or someone of the officer of law. And one lady speaks up. She says, "I once got a ticket for running a stop sign." She says, "Even though I definitely came to a complete stop." Judge asked her, said, "Well, did you pay the ticket?" She goes, "Yes." Judge says, "Well, if you thought you were innocent, why didn't you just contest it?" "Your Honor," she replied, "there have been so many times that I didn't get a ticket for running a stop sign, I figured that this evened things out." She understood that there was a judgment that had to come for all those times of which she had broken the law. When we think about Judgment Day, there are some days we're looking forward to it. There are some days when we dread it. There are days when I think, man, it would be great if Lord could come on back now and we could go ahead and get this whole thing started. But more often, life is good enough and we have things to look forward to, and we know there are more people that need to come to Christ, and so we can continue to wait. Tonight we look at one of what is called the minor prophets here tonight. And many of the minor prophets speak about the coming day of the Lord. And tonight we have just one of those. As a matter of fact, Amos, for example, says, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you wait? Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness and not light." Or also, he also says in Amos 4:12, he says, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." In Obadiah, in the fourth chapter of Obadiah, God says to him, he says, "Though you soar like eagles and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down." Many times we read from the prophets, the minor prophets, and those who know when we talk about, been looking at Ezekiel on Wednesday night, many talked about the day coming, the day of judgment. And they wanted to get that point across. They wanted to get God's word across, that there was a judgment. You know, Branson, when he was, I think he may have been in 6th grade or 7th grade or something like that. I don't think I've ever told you this story because I try not to talk about him now since he's got a wife and kids. But Branson had taken some fireworks to school. He didn't set them off, but he had them. He got caught with them. So, of course, at that time, I was still surveying. And so Carrie had told him, you know, of course, the last thing kids want to hear is that, you know, your daddy gets home, you know, it's on. So I come in the door. I go home, and, you know, I know Carrie, she hates giving me bad news, but she says, "I got to tell you this." And so of course, I take off, and I go towards the back. And I'll never forget, Branson's room was down that hall back there on the right. And I go in there, and there's no Branson. The window's up, but there's no Branson. He went out the window. He didn't go far. I think we just found him there at the side of the house. But Branson wanted to avoid that judgment that was coming. But that judgment was going to come. There was no way that he could avoid it. At his age, he could not just take off and go and hide. You see, in the days of the minor prophets and in the days of the prophets, there were a lot of folks who tried to reassure themselves with things that they wouldn't have to worry about a coming judgment, that there would be somehow that they could avoid it or something of that. But Zephaniah and many of the prophets indicate that that is not necessarily the case. Even though they may not expect it, that judgment would come one day. And so tonight I want us to look at that. And that our ever watchful God, that there will be a judgment that comes. And believe it or not, when I say that judgment will come, that will include ours. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you for this time now that we have to come to look upon your word. Father, I just pray tonight that we've come ready to receive your word. And Father, I just pray that we come tonight and Father, we could take your word, we could apply it to our life. Father, that it can make a change in our life. Father, that we would open our hearts and our minds and our soul up to allow it to change our life. And Father, we know that your word says that it will change our life, that it is piercing. And Father, I just pray tonight that we would allow it to do that. And Father, we could be changed by your word tonight. So Father, again, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you for those that are gathered here tonight. And Father, most importantly, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray these things. Amen. So the first thing I want us to see is that God will judge all people, including those who claim to be His. Zephaniah begins announcing God's judgment, and he begins by announcing God's judgment on the whole world because of their unfaithfulness. That they had spread. Especially, what we're going to look at in just a second, is especially those priests. So let's look. The first thing I want to look at is we're going to look at Zephaniah 1. I want to look at verses 2 through 6 is what we'll look at first. It says, judgment on the whole earth in that day, in the day of the Lord. It says, I will swipe away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. When I destroy all mankind on the face of the Lord, declares the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Judea, against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in this place. The very names of the idolatrous priests, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, who bow down and swear by the Lord and who also swear by Molech. Those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of Him. Very strong language. Very strong language that that Zephaniah has here that he puts down that God has spoken to him. And so if you look on, and we're going to look on, and you look in beginning in verse 7 and you go through 14, he pronounces judgment on Judah before enter and declare. He declares judgment on the rest of humanity. Look at verses 14, I mean going through 7, going through 18. And it says, be silent before the sovereign Lord. Before the day of the Lord is near, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those He has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who clad themselves in foreign clothes. On that day I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their God with deceit, violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, welling from the new quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Well, you who live in the market district, all you merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be destroyed. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like a wine left on its degrees, who thinks the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Verse 13, their wealth will be plundered, their house demolished. Though they build houses, they will not live in them. Though they plant vineyards, they will not drink wine. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry on the Lord, on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of triumph and battle cry, trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. Verse 17, I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of His jealousy, the whole world will be consumed. For He will make a sudden end to all who live on the earth. Why or what would cause God's judgment to bring that kind of judgment? Well, if you look here in the Scripture and what Zephaniah has for us here tonight, it's pretty simple. First, he talks about those who devote themselves to false gods. In Zephaniah 1:5, it said, those who bow on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and also swear by Molech. This judgment that is here happens to be because of, related to the Philistines, their custom. And it is found in 1 Samuel 5:5, where it says this, that is why to this day neither the priest of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple ask God to step on the threshold. You see, these priests, a lot of that is the same thing of when God sees His own children, those who claim to be called by His name, those who call on His name. When He sees those that He has entrusted to be in the church, to be the church, those He has entrusted to be vessels of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when He sees those that call themselves believers, that is what upsets Him. Look at 5 again. It's about those who bow down on the roof, and then those who... But also when you get there at the very end, and they swear by the Lord. Okay? But it has that "and" in there. And they go, Amalek. Now let me tell you about this Ammonite god. This was a god that they would go and make sacrifices. And I'm not talking about... They wouldn't go sacrifice dead cows. They would sacrifice humans. That would be what they would sacrifice to them. So God right here in Zephaniah, through Zephaniah, He's saying, listen, you are split. In the New Testament, it reads, you cannot serve the world and you cannot serve, in my paraphrase, you cannot serve the world and you cannot serve a God at the same time. You see, what here is the issue is those who are straddling the fence. Those who are not, who at one moment say, I follow the God of Israel, but at the next whim, or in the next verse, or in the next word, they go and they're swearing to another God. The book of Jeremiah 9:13 says, the Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. So when we look at what would bring this judgment? It says, because of those who knew my word. Those who went out, and when we talk about the priest or anyone that went out and told others God's word, but yet at the same time, they were going against His word. Now, there's also speaking in here those officials. Those officials whose main objective was to go and to get these material possessions, where it said especially for imported and expensive clothes. In Zephaniah verse 8 through 9, it says, on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons. Now, so understanding, this is There's no way to avoid this, that there is no hierarchy. He says, on the day I will punish the officials and the kings and all those who clad themselves in foreign clothes. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, on that day I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. Merchants went around and they devoted themselves. That's what their concern was acquiring those things. In verse 11 it said, well, you who live in the market district, all your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be destroyed. At the same time, the rich were going back and they were going and they were acquiring all this. They were going and acquiring a real estate. In verse 13, it says, their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. Though they build these houses, they will not live in them. All the things that you do, though they build these houses, they will not live in them. It will be in vain. Why? Because you have not obeyed what I told you. You have worshipped false gods. You have gone against what I said. Though they plant vineyards, so they're building houses, they're planting vineyards. First, they will not live in those houses. And secondly, it says they will not drink the wine. The judgment will interrupt that pursuit of those material possessions. The pursuit that gave them the confidence in their future. That's why they acquired it. That's why anybody acquires it, so you have comfort and you have you feel better about what your future has to hold. What Zephaniah is saying here and what is said many times throughout the Scripture is that does you no good. All those things. Says you'll build those houses. You can go build them houses. God says you won't live in them. You can sit out there and go out to the vineyard and go out there and plant them. You can go out there and prune them. You can take care of them. Do whatever you think you want. It does not matter. Because you're not going to drink no wine from them. They will not inhabit those houses and they will not drink of that vineyard, that is. So is that it? Is it just the pursuit of the material things that God is so disturbed that He's going to end it all for both who claim to serve Him and those who don't? No. Now, in the 17th verse is very graphic as people walk around like the blind and have their blood. It says poured out like dust and their entrails like filth or like dung. That's a fairly horrible story of what would happen. Very horrible description. Secondly is this. God will judge the world even though people don't expect it. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, a very familiar verse to you, says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It is, of course, sin that leads God to bring judgment. But what I might do may hasten the day. According to Zephaniah 1:5, God's people raise His fury as much as the officials. And the princes, He even talks about the king. We don't expect there to be anything. You know as well as I do that when you go and you... Whether it be anything that you do that you know in your heart is a sin. And you know as well as I do, how many times have you thought, well, you know what? God isn't going to come right now. Or, you know, I got time to repent of that. I've got people did today. That is exactly why that people, and that's exactly why that we don't know. If we knew the time, if we knew the exact time we was going to die, everybody would wait to that last 45 minutes. And then they'd want to straight out. That's it. And if everybody knew when the exact time that God was doing, within 2 or 3 days they knew the exact time, then everything would be fine. They would get everything right. But it isn't like that. Because we as humans, we as a sinful flesh, would use that to our advantage. See, we don't think there's going to come a judgment. I mean, you know, we sit here and think. But God is also upset with the fact of people that call on Him that call themselves followers neither seek Him nor inquire of Him. They neither seek Him nor inquire of Him. Yes, I call on Your name, God. I have faith that You're going to do this. I trust that You're going to do this. But I never call on His name. I never inquire of Him. God, You bless me. You bless me. I got this card. I got the bank account. I got all. You bless me with this. But I'm not going to inquire in You of what I should do with what You've given me. I'm so blessed that You've given me a life to live. Father, I'm so blessed that You give me, but I'm not going to inquire of You of what You would have me do with it. You see, that's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about those, and everyone will be judged, but we're talking about those who call themselves. That is, God knows that. But there are so many out there today that don't know Christ or those who refuse Him. And that breaks His heart for those. But what angers Him is when people who call themselves Christians, those who call Him as their Lord, those who come, but yet they never seek Him nor inquire of Him. Zephaniah 1:6 says, those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of Him. It is the people that don't see God in their life, who don't see what He has done for them, and does not allow Him to be involved in their lives, that brings God's judgment. Perhaps it is better to see God acting and arguing against it than not to see Him present at all. Thirdly is this, and this truly is a no-brainer, but yet it does not change our lives. Thirdly is knowing that God is watching. I should have that should. That should be 10,000 times bigger than everything else. It should affect our behavior. I always go to the Israelites when they were waiting for Moses there at Mount Sinai to return God's law. They get tired of waiting. So what do? They go to making images. Moses had gone up to see God. But even then, they did not think that God was going to do anything, that there would be nothing for it. And today, we think that there will be no punishment, that there will be no judgment. Because, let's admit it, we'd rather hear about that God wants us just to be happy, right? As opposed to there's going to be a judgment. But it's very dangerous to believe, and it is extremely dangerous to act as if there are no punishments, as there is no judgment, that there is no sin. It's not just the question of whether God will be worried about my needs. It's more a matter of understanding that God is watching my behavior. He is watching the genuineness. Let me say that again. The genuineness of our worship and the things that I pursue, the things that you pursue, the things that we put our confidence in, those are the things that God is watching. Those are the things that He is seeing. Do I believe that God acts in my world? Listen, if you believe that God acts in the world, then you have to believe that God is going to put a judgment on those who do not believe in Him. Do the decisions that I make, do I look to see God's will or do I go to look to see Chad's will? Do I go to the things that just make me happy or the things that meet my needs as opposed to what God would have me do? Every time God's people begin living as though the Lord will do nothing, and there is no judgment, time after time after time after time after time, God would send His prophets and He would go to warn them. Whether it be Habakkuk went wondering aloud how God would use the Babylonians to punish Judea, or Amos warning Israel that God would use the Assyrians to punish them, or Zephaniah stating the general principles that God is watching and that He sees. The world as a whole and many Christians live as though God has no concern, as He does not watch, as He does not care what they do. The world and many Christians act like nothing in their life will be judged. And that's a dangerous way to live. It's not only dangerous now, but it is dangerous on that day of judgment. I love in the New Testament when it talks about when I will separate. The reason to be separated, the goats, the ones who have done it, will be there. That there will be a judgment. We'll all have to stand and give an account of what we've done. And I will have to give my account for myself. That's what Zephaniah was trying to warn the people. And I'm not talking about folks that are out, that are so far from Christ they can't see. I'm talking about folks that call themselves Christians. The ones who are supposed to be spreading the gospel as opposed to destroying it. Zephaniah is a book that we rarely step in, but I think this first chapter here has eye-opening things to us. To understanding that those who say they call Lord but yet never turn to Him and never consult Him or never seek His will. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, tonight I want to tell you it's God's will and His wish that everyone upon the face of the earth come and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is why He tarries. That is why He waits. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, tonight, well, we want to give you that opportunity to come, repent of your sins, be obedient to His Word and Christian baptism, and arise anew, and live a life that is worthy of being called a child of God. Tonight, if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, we want to invite you to come. Any decision that you have upon your heart tonight, we want to extend it to you. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father,